I don't know. I don't know how much beyond our individual lives this warning for us out of God's heart of love for us, so that we are aware that He is aware of the assaults of the swarms of locusts of destruction that could come against us. I don't know how much it's going to be on individuals. There is a somewhat uneasiness of wondering whether as part of the end times or not, that unless we as a nation turn back to God, that the locusts are coming. How long has any nation I think we're in a unique situation. I don't know if any nation's been blessed more than we have. I mean, read history. Read how, and I'm stating what you already know. We read history. We read how kings lived in ancient days. And I live better than they do. I eat better than they did. Clothed better. More comfort creature. Go home and watch golf this afternoon on nice TV. Not too many kings are able to do that. We know why this country's been blessed, don't we? God's blessed our country. And we've turned away from Him. As far as who's actually in the churches, those who are actually worshiping God, you know one of the most ungodly nations in the whole world today? You know who's at the top of the list or near the top of the list? Who has fewer people, other than name only, but who are actually practicing Christian faith, actually devoted in the church somewhere? You know one of the most ungodly, if not the most ungodly nation in the world today, is the United States of America. How many of you have been outside this country? How many of you have been to developed countries? Advanced countries? Do they have anything like what we have here? Haven't you come back and just think, thank God I'm back in the United States? Is that right? But unless we turn back to God, I think the prophecy could be for us. The locusts are coming. If you think you can stand without me and you want me not to be part of your country, if you kick me out, then... And I don't even know if that's part of what He would have us hear today. I know that on an individual level, God loves you, that He wants you to know, and He is aware that the locusts are coming and may have well have already entered in your life. And some of you may be fighting against the forces that would cause you destruction even this morning. The prophet singles out three groups of people, but we need to ask ourselves and make sure that we're not one of them in this prophecy. It talks about the drunkards, those who are drunk. If we ignore and turn our back on God and the reality of His love, and God is the only thing that can is the only one that can satisfy our deepest needs and longings. Is that right? He's the only one can fill that hole in our innermost being. Only His presence, only a relationship with Him can truly satisfy us. Because that's who we were created to be in relationship with Him. And so if we try to substitute anything in it for Him and a life spent with Him, we have to get drunk on it in order to numb that inner longing that we have for God. And we need to just ask ourselves, and we won't spend a lot of time here, just, are we getting drunk on anything that we are trying to use as a substitute for God's love? Another group of people was the farmers listed here. God wants us to work. He wants us to work hard. But He wants us to do that out of our relationship with Him. and a love for him. That even when we go to our work, we can do that and take him with us. Depend upon him while we do our work. So that we share our work with him. We share everything with him. We share our whole life with him. He's involved in it all. And so that's the idea with the relationship. That's what he wants. But we can get so involved in this world and in the things of this world that we just work in order to get by the best we can in this world. And the Lord is beckoning us because of his love and because of the fact that the locusts are coming and destruction can be upon us or coming near. He wants us to realize that to live, he doesn't want us to live and work just for this world and the concerns of this world, but he wants us to be aware of him and his world where he lives. And we've not seen him, and we are cut off from that world at the present time, but does the Lord exist? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? Do you believe that he's real? Do you believe with all of your heart in him as your Savior and Lord and the one you depend upon for life? Even though he's of another world that we're cut off from at this time. If you do, Jesus said, blessed are you. Because you believe in him even though you've not seen him. But to live a life with dependence upon him and with him, even in our work, in whatever activity that we do, is living with an awareness that there is a world beyond this world. And that's what we're living for. We're living for him and to be with him and to be found pleasing for him and to be where his world can be brought into this world and he and the experience of him can be brought into the lives of our own lives and the lives of others, and we live and even work for that. My dad was a hard worker, wasn't he, Baba? He worked for REA, and he put some long hours in. And even beyond that, you're on call, what was it, every other weekend? And that was holidays. So if you're on call and there's a storm and someone is without electricity and they're depending on, maybe in the midst of a winter storm, dependent on for their very lives. At least their livestock, their livelihood is at jeopardy. So he would get out and go and fix the obstruction. So almost always it was some sort of an obstruction. Had a big black phone, and here's how old I am. This phone had this thing that went around like this. It hooked on one end and went around to a big box on the other end on the wall. It's called a cord. And when it rang, it had that big bell sound. I always hated to hear that in the middle of the night. Ding. Because he'd go out, you just never really knew if he's going to come back or not. So he worked hard. And then for years, in addition to that job, he worked all night in order to build a home and to have a home for our family. He worked hard. But he said, when asked, what's your life all about? He said, I live my life for one reason, to be the best Christian that I can be. And that's what God's saying. Live for me. Work hard, but take me with you. Live for me, even in your work. And you'll be prepared for the locusts when they come. Third group is the priests. Priests ended up not having anything to do. Oh, may we hear the heart of God in this. Just his heart. Listen to his heart. He would have us just to be reminded that our religious activities, whatever they may be, can't be just that. religious activity. Because then they hurt God. They're offensive to God. He wants what we do when we come and do our religion to be a reflection of our love for Him. When we come and or we partake of the table, when we eat that cracker and drink that blood, that juice, we're thanking God. I love you. Because you love me this much. And it's real. It's real. Part of the reason why our country is in the shape of as it is, as far as churches, part of it is when people come to a point when they realize they really need something. And we've been the most blessed country, but you know what that's produced? That's produced a generation that knows money is not going to fill what this is. You can have all the stuff. I'm still empty here. People are looking for the realness of who Christ is. He's real, isn't he? And his Spirit, when it fills us, is real and works. And that's what the Lord wants for us. He wants us to experience his reality and his Spirit so that then when we meet here, in whatever activities we go through, it's an expression of our realness and our love for Him. And the Lord says He wants all of that. And He says in the prophet Joel, He says, I want you to know that because the day of the Lord is near. What does that mean? We know what it means. It means when He comes back again. And it's near. And He says, that's a terrible day. He means by that, it's a very serious time. It's a very dear time. It's God. He's saying, please take this serious. Be right with me. Make sure your heart's right with me. We won't have the time to go through this, but one of the ways to understand how God wants us to live with Him is how the biblical marriage is laid out. At one point, we'll just touch on it here. At one point, after the bride and groom are married, biblically, but before they consummate it, the bridegroom leaves and goes and prepares a honeymoon place for his bride. That's where we're at in our marriage relationship with the Lord, if we have faith in Him. If we have faith in Him, we're married to Him. We're united with Him. But He's left us to go and prepare a what? A place for us. Do you hear the language? It's marriage language that Jesus is drawing upon. And once the honeymoon place was finished, the bridegroom's father had to give the okay because the bridegroom might throw up something pretty quick. To get to the honeymoon, so the bridegroom had to get the approval of the father saying, it's good enough, go get your bride. What was Jesus saying? Who knows when He's coming again? Only the what? Only the Father knows. He wasn't talking about His limitation. He was talking about marriage. And He's preparing a place for us. And if He should prepare a place for us, He's going to what? Come again. To take us where He is, so that where He is, we might be. And the next part of the biblical marriage is the bridegroom with his groomsmen would come and get the bride, usually in the night, usually in the middle of the night, with her bridesmaids, and it was a very romantic, and he would come, and she's to be looking for him. If she loves him, what is she going to be doing? She's going to be looking for him. Anxious for him to come and get her and take her home. To be with him forever. And sweep her off her feet and take her away. Jesus is saying, I'm coming for you. Be ready for me. Be looking for me. Don't have me come and find you not caring about me. Forgot about me. Living your life without me. Jesus, don't do that to me. Because I love you. Love me back. We'll leave it at this. What the Lord says, He expresses it. He's expressing this prophecy in Joel to people who've forgotten him. Listen to what the Lord says. You can hear his heart. He says, turn to me now while there's time so that you'll be ready when I come. Hear his words. Give your heart to me. In the prophet, we'll close with this. We'll get ready to do our last song, commitment song. And we'll attempt to do this. In this prophet, it says, blow the ram's horn. This will be the sound that will. So many reasons why the Lord could have said he wanted to be blown in this message, in this prophecy to Joel. It will be blown when he comes again. It was blown to kind of like the trumpet in the military and basis and the trumpet's blown to wake you up in the morning. It's blown to put you to bed at night. Used to have signals for when you'd go into war. Signals when to order you in battle. Think in this prophecy, the Lord is once and blown to just make sure we're awake and that we're right with Him before He comes.